You know, if the world had anything to do with it, the first Easter would never have happened. So many forces came together to attempt to keep Jesus from saving the world. There was the cross, that stark symbol of how much religious leaders had rejected Jesus and how Roman authorities were ready to do away with him. The cross is a reminder that those religious leaders could not stand anything Jesus said or anything Jesus did, and together they conspired to do away with the life of Jesus. He was not the Savior they wanted, so they led the crowd to chant, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And they carried him to the top of Golgotha, and there they executed him between two thieves. The cross is one of the ways that the world tried to do away with the life of Jesus. But it was not just the cross. There was also the tomb, a stark testimony that Jesus was really, truly dead. His enemies thought that nobody had ever accomplished anything from a graveyard. The truth is, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done with your life, no matter what influence you've had, when you die, all of that is over with. And you fade into the sands of history. And his enemies thought, surely, when they laid him in the tomb, that's the end of his story. His followers knew that the tomb meant everything they had believed in seemed to be finished. They stood outside of the tomb with broken hearts and watched as his body lay there. And they thought everything was over, as far as the man from Galilee was concerned. The grave clothes sought to hold him back. A long, winding cloth confined his body. He was wrapped from head to foot in yards of linen material. His face was covered. The grave clothes were a symbol of respect, but they were also a symbol of surrender to the power of death. When those who loved him wrapped Jesus in grave clothes, they thought, this is the last thing we will ever be able to do for him. We want to send him into the shadows with a sign of love and respect. But we also understand those grave clothes mean the story is finished. There was a stone. It was placed before the entrance to the tomb. To those gathered around the tomb, the scrape of that stone as it rolled into place said, over, finished, final. And then there was a seal, the symbol of the power of Imperial Rome, placed upon the tomb to ensure that nobody would tamper with the body of Jesus, that no false claims would be made about what happened to him after he died. There was no doubt that a guard of soldiers had been assigned to make sure that the tomb would be guarded. And so Rome and Jerusalem and all the power of death and all of the strength of the enemy were determined together to make sure that the life of Jesus had reached its conclusion. For 2 days, it seemed as though what they had done was enough. The world thought his story was over. God had tried to do something special through Jesus, but it just hadn't worked. And now his story was done. That's what the world thought, but the world was not prepared for what happened on the third day. The earth shook. The massive stone rolled away as though it were nothing. The grave clothes settled onto the shelf there in the tomb, and he was gone. By the time those who loved him came to the tomb, they could not find a body. Instead, they encountered a majestic angel who came with an incredible announcement. You seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. It's the most incredible pronouncement the world has ever heard. To know that this one that the world laid into the grave, the one that the world stole his life away from, now he's gone. Now he's risen. Everything has changed. Jesus brought the resurrection. That wasn't all. The angel also gave them a command. He said, come and see. Experience it for yourself. You can imagine what it was like for those who had come to the tomb early in the morning. As they came and the stone was rolled away, and as the angel appeared to them, and all of these things were happening in an overwhelming fashion, they drew back. They were afraid to come close. They thought, this is beyond anything we ever could have expected. But the angel beckoned them forward. I want you to come. I don't want you to just stand nearby. I want you to look within the tomb. I want you to experience it for yourself. You come and see. Christ is not here. He is risen. And then he said to them, and go and tell. You go and share this experience that just has taken place right in front of you. You go and tell people what we saw, what we experienced, what we heard, what we saw, and he is gone. Go tell his disciples. He is alive. Go tell those who failed him. He is alive. Go and tell sin-sick people. He is alive. Go and tell the world. He is alive. The world thought that it could contain the resurrected Christ, but it discovered all in one blinding moment that nothing impairs the power of God. That nothing holds back his plans from coming to completion. And not only that, that nothing could keep Jesus in the grave and prevent him from becoming the risen Savior of the world. He is alive. It occurs to me this morning that this year the world seems determined to stop Easter again. This morning we're celebrating the most unusual Easter any of us have known. All across America, there are churches that are empty on Easter Sunday. All around the world, there are believers who are not able to gather together to celebrate the risen Christ. It's a very different place. Usually, the sanctuary is full. Usually, families have gathered. Usually, we come and take pictures in front of a beautiful cross. Usually, we say to one another, Christ is alive. We walk into worship with people we love. The choir brings us before the Lord in a powerful way. We turn to God's Word and we hear again the resurrection promise. And best of all, we share that affirmation that Rich leads us in every year. He is risen. He is risen indeed. But this morning, none of those things are happening. It's as though the world is conspiring against Easter. Today we're told, stay at home and stay away from other people. Today, families cannot gather together. Grandparents are going to be missing their grandchildren. Grandchildren are not going to be able to do the things they usually do when they go to grandma's house for lunch. Today, the news is filled with messages of lost lives and suffering patients. Today, people are worried about how they're going to provide for their families in the days and weeks ahead. Today, we're concerned about our work, about our income, about our needs. Some of us have experienced very personal loss from the consequences of the pandemic. Today, it would become easy to be discouraged, to believe things aren't going to get any better. Today, it is tempting to think the world has won. The Lord has a message for you today. No matter what is happening around you, even if the darkness seems to be winning the day, this is God's message just for you. We serve a risen Savior. He rose from the dead just as he promised. Death has been defeated. Hell has been done away with forever. The world has already lost the battle. And because he lives, we can trust him today, tomorrow, and into eternity. When we are tempted to think we're all on our own, we've been deserted, we're not sure where to turn, we need to remember this truth and never forget it. The stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. And Jesus is alive. He lives. He is the overcomer. The world can throw everything it has against him, and it will never be enough. A week or so ago, a phrase came into my mind, and since it did, I've been using it constantly. In letters that I've written, in emails that I've shared, in times that I have exchanged greetings with other people, I keep coming back to this phrase that has come to mean so much to me. And I want to share it with you today. Because today the world and all the powers of the enemy are still doing everything they can to blunt the power of the resurrection. Remember this: Easter always wins. Easter always wins. We're not worshiping together this morning on Resurrection Sunday and wondering, so how's this going to turn out? We see the powers of the enemy. We see the strength of death. We see those who would bring discouragement in battle against the Lord. And maybe the Lord will win, but maybe the enemy will win. We're not in that state today. Today we remember this: Easter always wins. And we serve a risen Savior. And because we trust Him, we recognize that the power of this world has no strength to touch us whatsoever. Oh, it may do so in a transitory way. There may be issues we'll have to endure, and there may be suffering that we'll have to go through. But we know this: when all of the power of the enemy has been exhausted, there will be an empty tomb and a risen Savior who dwells on high and tells us, the day will come when I will bring you back to live with me for eternity. Easter always wins. We serve a risen Savior. Today you may have listened to this message and you may think to yourself, you know, I don't have that kind of assurance in my life. I really don't know whether Easter wins or not because I don't know the risen Jesus. Today you need to enter into a personal relationship with Him. If you're watching this program and you don't know Jesus, let me invite you to pray this prayer with me this morning. Dear Lord Jesus, I have to confess it. I've begun to believe that the world is going to win. I see circumstances going on around me. I see failure deep within me. I recognize I'm a sinner separated from God, and I don't have a relationship with Christ. But Lord, I want that to change. I want to know I serve a risen Savior, one who was willing to die for me, and one who rose from the dead that I might have everlasting life. And so today, I invite Jesus to be my Savior. Forgive my sins. Come into my life. Give me the assurance that Easter always wins. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. And maybe you're here as a believer, and the truth is you've allowed yourself to become discouraged. You've watched way too much news. You've heard way too many things that are going wrong in the world, and you're thinking, I just don't know how we recover from this. And the answer is, we put our hands in the hands of a God who loves us, who gave Himself for us, who rose from the dead for us, and who offers us His presence every day. And today I encourage you, put your life in the hands of the one who loved you and gave Himself for you. Just a moment, we're going to sing an invitation hymn, a very powerful hymn and a celebration hymn that reminds us we truly do serve a risen Savior. While we sing this song, if God is dealing with you, that's your chance to stop and simply say, Lord, this Easter, I worship you. This Easter, I honor you. This Easter, I trust you. This Easter, I put my life in the hands of a living Savior.